Okay, so Rabbi Yisrael, we're up to page 282. In our edition, Simon Topkuf Yudchesiv Tal, we are learning a new topic. It's the topic of the ladders. There is a bit of an issue about ladders, and the issue is that we're going to see already what the issue is, but let's see what the discussion of it is. So, Siv Dalet, Mutal Talat al Sulam, you are allowed to move a ladder, Meshoivach Leshoivach, from one nest to another bird's nest. To A2. Are you checking? Yeah, we're on. Yes, we're on. Yeah, okay. You are allowed to move a ladder from one nest to another bird's nest, Meshoivach Leshoivach, even in a public domain. But if it is a ladder which is meant for going up to a higher level, to a higher floor, not to a nest, but to another floor, that's also betiltul. That you're not allowed to move. The reason for that is that Mishnah Berurah have gotten Chof Ches explains. This is a rabbinical gzeira, which is the gzeiras sulam. The Mishnah Berurah explains have gotten Chof Ches. Aval sulam shel yosu. The roye yoima. Somebody just looks. And he says, hey, look, this gentleman over here is moving about with his ladder. What he's doing is, he's going to fix his roof. His roof may be leaking. His roof may have a bit of an issue. He needs to fix his roof. Consequently, he's going with his ladder over there, and he's going up the ladder to fix the roof. Therefore, Chachamim were very concerned about this, and said that, if a person is going around with a ladder per se, it's not also, a ladder is fine, really. Well, in principle, to move a ladder is fine. Like you're allowed to move a chair, in principle, you should be allowed to move a ladder too. But here we are concerned that is Gzeir Chomim forbade it. And they said no, because instinctively, when you see somebody with a ladder, it's a bit like when you see, with a ladder, I think it's not so far-fetched. When we see these long ladders, the people are cleaning the windows. It's just when you see these long, these long ladders, somebody. When you see some, you naturally associate, certainly in those days, you naturally associate the ladder with some fixing taking place on the roof. Therefore, you're not to move it. However, if you've got, if it's a kind of ladder which you have, which you, meshoivach leshoivach, which you move from one nest to another nest, so that is explicit that the reason why you are moving the ladder is not because you're fixing the roof, but rather, well, you're just trying to catch a bird, and we know catching bird, you may want to eat this bird on Yom Tov, which is fine. So therefore, nest to nest is permitted, from one area to in the house and the other area of the house, that would be also. The question is, what about if you want to have this ladder now, which normally functions as a ladder, for fixing the roofs, but you personally want to move it in your house because you've got the sfoim on top. And you want to move it for generally in the house, you can't even reach the roof. You don't have a ceiling that. You want to just move that particular ladder in your house from one room to the other room. What's that locha then? So very much in line with the general rules that we know. The Mishnah Berurah explains further. And so that particular ladder, which is normally used for fixing the roofs, that kind of ladder is also even to move in your house from one room to another, because to kol mokim she'osu mishumaris ha'ayin, something which is also because of the maris ha'ayin issue, hafilu b'chad echadorim, also is also even in your own house, even somewhere where nobody's going to see you, even because it's also that's the gzeir of maris ha'ayin goes that far. Now the question, so again, there's two times,
Are you allowed to,
right, so that leads us to the next line of the Mishnah Berurah. What happens if you have a ladder? So we've distinguished, we're saying now, okay, to move a ladder from one nest to the other nest, if it's outside, you've got, you know, from one tree to another tree, that was that it's fine because you're allowed to take birds and therefore there's no exit. However, if you've got a ladder that you put, you know, one aliyah, one roof to the other roof, you're not allowed to do that because the bystander is going to just think you're fixing the roof. Okay. And therefore, we've gone even a step further. We've said that any moving of ladders in your house is also as maris ha'ayin, because even b'chad ha'chadorim is also. The question that can be asked over here is really like Yalla Maisa. I've got one of those ladders, and it's quite, I think quite common. You know, the little ladders at home, which are not designed for going up. You can't, you know, just for literally going up, you know, you want to reach something further up.
Three
steps. You open it and close it without going to shayla if you can or can't open it on Shabbos. But let's say it's open before Shabbos and before Yom Tov, and you want to just now, you want to move that ladder from one. Say you've got a big svarim shank, last svarim, and you want to get a svarim further. Can you move that kind of ladder? Or is that included in the gzeira?
It's not really ma'aseh ha'ayin.
Why? Why is it a ma'aseh ha'ayin? But surely you could argue that perhaps it's, if we're asking something because of Maris Ha'ayin, then, you know, you could stretch it that far as well. Your Maris Ha'ayin is also Afilu B'chadah, but Lemaisi, you're right. The Mishnah Buna says, second last narrow line, V'sulamos, and ladders. Sh'miyuchodis l'tashmish b'fnim habayis. The ladders which are designated, and in fact designed for use in your house, Ho'meltaltinim oisam tomit, and remove them regularly. From one corner to the other corner of the house. So the halacha is, many authorities allow it. Many authorities allow such a three-step ladder, or the equivalent of that, because the ones which are forbidden are the ones which are very high, very sturdy, very strong. When you can reach with this ladder, legag, lesakno, you can reach the roof, the ceiling, to fix it. There the gzera is, perhaps people are going to see this and going to think, that he's fixing the roof. Masha'enken, however, sulam shebevai is an internal three-step ladder equivalent. You can't even get to the ceiling with this. Can't get to the roof with this. That will be halachically categorized as a sulam shel shovach, as a permitted ladder. Yesh machmirim b'zeh, but there are stringent opinions. For day tom and day hold, the loy kilo be sulam shel shovach. No, we only allow specifically a ladder which is designated and designed for nests. Shenikorim heim betzurosam, they are easily recognizable. You can distinguish them because for lekul al miyodin le shovach mamtelu. This is a kind of ladder which is meant for nests. Did you know there's different kinds of ladders? I didn't really realize, but it looks like the ladders for nests catching are a bit different, and they look different, and therefore only those are permitted. Any other ones are going to be also. So we've got a machloek is how to look at those small ones. Lemaisa the Mishtabua finishes off. In a private domain, you can be lenient, letatl, sonos, revised, and you may carry around and move around a ladder which is a small ladder you are allowed to. However, in a public domain, should be stringent if possible. So there you go. Lemaisa, we are allowing in your house, you're allowed to move a three step ladder. It's not included in the gzera, and it doesn't go to Maris Ha'ayin. Yeah, probably that would be also. That's right. Yeah. That's a good shaila. Yeah, we use mainly. I think you use a smaller one, but how can you use a big ladder? It's a good question because you pashtas you can. It's a very good question, Rabbi Isai. The real tall ones that you could use in principle for reaching the roof and fixing, what would be the header to use them for the purpose of opening and closing the sukkah?
Is there like a limit? I mean, my one's sort of about 6 foot high, like a triangle.
Could you reach the roof with it?
What the, well, which, I mean, I can reach the conservatory. the
flat roof.
Yeah, not the house roof.
No, okay.
So, I mean, I'm saying, well, what's the... Where did you draw the line?
Is it a mukzah situation?
No, it's a special gzera. It's a gzera. It's a gzera, yeah. No. It's gzera. I don't know what the answer is. I'm sure there is a heta because people do it. It must be. I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know. It could be that when we... The only thing I can think of, and it's just a guess, is that when we talk about Sulam Shel Aliyah, they are the professional ones. The ones that you see sometimes builder using, and they're more... They're probably even more sturdy, more stronger, more solid, and not the ones that you're going to have, you know, a private person is normally going to have in his house. So perhaps one could argue that this will not be included in the Xer. I'm not sure. It's a good shine. It's a good aura. Any other thoughts on that? You know, if people have got tulsa, because you want to use a... What ladders? It's an interesting shayla. I don't know. It's a good shayla.
Like a mitzvah, maybe.
No, but why would you be allowed to tzarech mitzvah to be over on the Rabbanon?
I don't
know. If it's included in the Gzera, then it's a Drabonon. And then there's no Heter Tzorech Mitzvah. Even a Mitzvah Deraisa. I'm not sure. The question is a valid question. Okay, we move on. Tzif Hei. Lehoitzi Graf Shel Rei Leachziroi. With regards to the halachas of Graf Shel Rei, we have discussed in Hilchos Shabbos extensively the halachas of Graf Shel Rei, which is waste matter which is not pleasant, you may remove them and it's not considered halachically mukta. You may get rid of it. We spoke about the dustbin and you know, the nappies also go into that category, things like that. The same halachas we discussed in the same machine ches, those halachas apply as well. So whatever is permitted to get rid of on Shabbos, he's also permitted to remove on Yom Tov. Right, now go see Sivov. Sivov is talking about the halachas of a behemah shemesa b'yom tov. What about an animal which is dying on Yom Tov? Remember, many Yidden used to be farmers, and many Yidden used to have animals in their backyard. And what happens if that animal is about to die on Yom Tov? So behemah shemesa b'yom tov. Imoisum isukenes. So we want to know now if this animal, which unfortunately has passed away on Yom Tov, we want to know, what can you do with this animal now? What am I allowed to do with it? Can I have any benefit from it? So behemah shemesa b'yom tov, an animal which died on Yom Tov, imoisu misukenes merev Yom Tov, if this animal was already dying, he was dangerously ill. Well, which animal should we talk about? Let's talk about the... Yeah, okay, let's just go for the cow. Okay, yeah. So the cow was, you know, you could tell this cow is just dying. This cow is just literally dying. So if it was already like that on when Yom Tov came in, then harezeh mechat chole klovim, so now that it's died, unfortunately you have to cut it into pieces and give that nevela meat, you can give it to the dogs. However, v'im lo yoisom esukenes, if the animal died of a sudden heart attack, is it such a thing? Sudden heart attacks with the cows? I don't know. Okay, the animal just died, maybe just of, you know, like too much stress or I don't know what. He was just like a sudden thing. He just died on the spot, like it that was it. And on Friday, he was just grazing happily, and there was no any evidence of illnesses or danger. So now, although he may have been internally ill, could be, he didn't go through a scan or anything. It wasn't like tested in any way. So mukta will be considered and categorized mukta. You may not move it. By the way, there may be a financial loss. Why there be a financial loss? If I can't move it, if it just drops dead, I had no idea. It just drops dead. You're not allowed to touch it. It will incur financial loss. Why would that be financial loss? Because could be by the end of Yom Tov, the meat will be rotten and will be full of, I can't use it anymore for anything. So it might be financial loss. Nevertheless, I may not touch that dead cow. So why, by the way, why does it make a difference if it was, if I knew he was ill or if it didn't look ill at all? Why should that make a difference? Why does it make a difference if I knew he was dying or he looked healthy? Why would it make a difference? Absolutely.
Like
absolutely. So in terms of mukta, it's not considered mukta because it will be considered already in that within the remit, and it's as Mishnah Berurah points out, it's not mukta because it's not mukta. It's already like within that world. It's not mukta l'dayte. It wasn't. It's as if it's designated already for dog's meat, and therefore it's permitted. Okay. Now, Siv Zayin. Siv Zayin is talking about straw. Let me just look at the words of Shulchan Aruch first. Maschilin ba'arei mois ha'tevan. You've got piles of straw. Ba'arei mois ha'tevan. Imi tivno sariya. If it is tivnasai, which means that it's very off already, it's already more like off. For his bekoitz and his thorns, shomid asoka, he can be used for fire. So what's going on over here? Generally, straw. Okay, let's step back a minute. Okay, fire. You want to have a bit of warmth in your. You want to heat up your place a little bit in order to have. What can you put in your? In your fireplace that is going to burn. What's good fuel? What's good fuel for your fireplace? So one of the very good items they could put into your fire to create a bit of heat in your house would be potentially straw. The question is as follows. If I've got enough seichel and I have enough preparation, I'm going to designate some straw in advance. Like I'm going to prepare some sticks and some woods and I'm going to put in a sign and say, okay, that is designated for my fire on Yom Tov and I'm going to put it in and it's perfectly fine. Now, what about if I forgot? Can I just take random straw from my field and take it and use it as a or is it perhaps mukta? This is the mukta shayla. Can you take random straw and take it towards your fire or not? Is it mukta or not? So the Shulchan Aruch says that in principle, we're going to see the words in a minute. In principle, straw is not mukta. Straw is not mukta. It's not something which is, you know, off remit. It's something which generally, the general consensus is, you may going to end up using it for your fire. And therefore, it's not mukta. So if you find straw in your garden and you want to have a bit of extra fuel, you can take it and put it in. It's fine. There is an exception, though. What about the straw which you put aside for as a fodder for the animals? Will you say you could take that then and put in the fire or not? So there the halacha is that since you put it aside for the animals, you can't take it for your fire. You can't. But here again, there's an exception, and the exception is that if it's the straw has gone so old and it's gone so dry and it's full of thorns and it's not really edible and it's not edible for the animals either anymore, then you could take it for the fire and you can use it for the fire again. This is what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, that even the straw which has been designated for the animals, nevertheless, this, if it's gone old and off and moldy, you could use that for the fire. Let me go through the words of Shulchan Aruch to have clarity in this. Maschilin you can take. You can take baremos at heaven with the piles of straw. Imhi tivne vesaria. If it is srucha, if it's old, moldy, it's not good anymore. But it's because and these thorns, it's like kind of what are the thorns? Do you know what I think? You know the thorns. When does straw get thorns? You know when it's like you sometimes see that in the fields when it's like. It's a bit like weed, basically. When it's like when it gets all that kind of level, face by coats and maybe thorns show without soccer, then it's not mukta. You can take it. You can put it in the fire, and it will be permitted to use as fire. Yeah. Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkot Lamed Vav that it's got to be vanushu musach mod. It must be really moldy. And it's not, no animal is going to touch it. The animal is not going to touch it anymore. It's too thorny, too moldy, too off. No animal is going to touch it. You can use it for the fire. Okay, gentlemen, to summarize what we learned this evening. We learned Simon Tov Kuf Yud Ches Seif Dalet. We spoke about the ladder. And we said, the ladder which you normally use for fixing the roofs, you're not allowed to move it. However, the ladder which you normally use for the nests, It's permitted to move around. The Mishnah Berurah discusses the halacha of the conventional ones that we have in our houses. Those the Mishnah Berurah holds that you
shouldn't.
You can. The three-step ladder, you can on the hall. It's true, in a precious rabbim you should avoid it, but at home you can move it. Now, further, the Shulchan Aruch taught us that Gav Shel Rei, the same halacha than on Shabbos. Then we spoke about the dying animal on Yom Tov. When can you move around a dying animal on a dead animal on Yom Tov? If he was already before Yom Tov was about to die, then on Yom Tov you can cut it and give the piece of meat to the
stray dog.
To the dog. To not necessarily stray, could probably yours as well. I imagine. Why not? Good point. Good point is difference. Yeah. Here we're not differentiating though. Interesting, very good. Yeah, but here we're not, very good point. So, okay, Al Kapolim Shulchan Aruch says you can give it to the dogs. If, however, the animal was very happily and healthy grazing around before Yom Tov, then, and it's only on Yom Tov, it just drops dead, it's mukta, you may not move the dead animal. Then we spoke about the really, really moldy, off, dry, straw, which has gone completely off, that you may use for the fire. If the animal is not even going to touch it, it's not mukhs, and you can use it for the fire. These are the halachas we discussed this evening, and we will continue with Shem tomorrow. Good evening, gentlemen.